That question was asked, or it's not on a telepathy, but the question was asked about these people being so far ahead of us. Was asked of Cardinal, Catholic Cardinal, in New York, and also in Los Angeles, the diocese. And then finally, the Pope that died, who was asked of him. And all three men answered this way. The reason why we're not like the space people is because we have committed the sin, which is a good way out, while they started on the right foot and gone ahead. It's no different than one child in school would start out right and go ahead of the other, while the other that starts school at the same time is way back, hadn't gained very much through the same time and the same years. But we seem to foul up someplace while the other people gone ahead.
Well, I've been in space, I agree with you, and I would like to know, he takes you much time for me to do, and how long did it take?
Well, now there's a big, a lot of people get confused on the distances. We don't know the distances exactly. All of our distances between planets are speculation. We haven't yet put out the ruler and measured them. See? Okay. For instance, when we shot the first ray in 1946 to the moon, radar beam to the moon from New Jersey, it was a discrepancy of 4,000 miles. Just the astronomy said 238,000 miles to the moon. The Army says 242,000 miles to the moon. So we compensated for it and shot in between. As a result, we missed the moon. We just hit it on the edge, ricocheted. It didn't hit the center. And the same is true with all planets. We don't know exactly the time or the distance. On top of that, when ships are moving, especially in numbers, they always pick the shortest route. And the shortest route usually is when the planets are close together. Now, for instance, Venus comes within 26 million miles of Earth at times, while Mars within 36 million miles. On the shortest route, that's when the ships will move more often, make up that time. And then, too, the ships are moving this way. Our planets are revolving on the orbit. It's coming towards them while they are coming towards it. So that cuts the time half down. You got to figure all of that. So we say 26 million miles would actually be 13 million miles. They meet halfway. And the planet is there. Just the same, if we could get a ship, we say, from here about at 12 o'clock at noon, see? Over and above and stand still above our atmosphere, and then we drop down in the evening, where would we drop? On China. It would come under us, see? And that's the way those things work. You gotta see all of that. So the distance is when we say we make it in 12 hours or 9 hours. Well, that on the numbers that we've been told is a long way, as you wonder how. But then when you figure it this other way, the methods they use and come in contact with the bodies on the shortest route, then you see that the time is cut in less than half of the cases. See? And there is no limit to speed at all. They can travel. We are building a ship today. One of our companies, private company, not a government, it's a private company. Building a ship today that is to be ready in 65. That ship, and that's made on Earth, is supposed to travel 1 million miles per hour. And you and I, people like you and I, are going to be traveling it. This ship is going to supposed to travel between here and the moon, to begin with. And some people already bought tickets on it. All right. Now, a ship can travel 10, 20, 30 million miles per hour, just as easily as 1 million miles per hour. We overlook one thing. The submarine That's the saying, this is going the other way, that's all. A submarine been built. That the occupants of that submarine will always be comfortable. No matter what depth that submarine goes through. Or where it surfaces. See? In other words, when it surfaces, it's not pressure, normal pressure. When it goes down to the depth of 100, 200, 300 feet, or a couple of 1,000 feet, the pressure increases. The ship is built to take care of all of that. So the occupants in the ship don't even know the difference. They're just as comfortable as we are. Spacecraft is built on the same principle, because we say Earth would be like the bottom of the ocean. The pressure is the heaviest against this body. Start going out, it gets less. When we build spacecraft, it will be eventually built on the on these grounds. That it will only go from Earth out, but it'll go from bottom of the ocean out. It'll cover the whole field eventually. In other words, the ship will be able to take care of its forces all the way around. What we must learn mostly is to reverse polarity, to polarize it. The polarities must be reversed. Because if a ship is coming in to this planet or any other on full force, it would crash. And some of them in the early days did. All right? Now, by a magnetic pull, or we call gravity pull. All right? So if we reverse polarities and yet not complete, in the boat, polarities act as brakes. I have instruments at home that can prove it just by demonstration how it should be done. I couldn't carry it with me because baggage is baggage. But anyway, it's very simple method as how polarities are reversed or balanced up. And that way the ship comes in. But the speeds, well, usually, so far, it's been 12 hours to 9 hours from here to Venus.
And how long time can tell you about your own experience? How long did it take you personally to go there?
Personally?
Your mind is going to go.
Well, personally, no.
Yes.
Well, 12 hours, okay. Earth time, is that right?
Yeah, Earth time. Earth time. 12 hours, Earth time, or 9, 12 hours, Earth time.
And you stay long there?
I stayed 5 hours on the planet.
Is it true that they can make very sharp angles like that?
They don't make that. That's all false. For instance, let me show you. There have been reports like that. This is, even for space people, impossible to do. It was saying that it goes, say, 20, they've been clocked 80,000 miles an hour on Earth by radar. They've been clocked at that speed. In our own atmosphere, I think 80,000 miles per hour. And all of a sudden, they seem to reverse their position, go just as fast the other way. Yeah, they don't do that. But what they do, see, just go this way. See, so down here, it looks like they stopped and reversed the position. They didn't at all, just like this, see? That's right. So that way, they're going 80,000 miles per hour this way, see? All of a sudden, they dip this way and go 80,000 miles per hour that way. Didn't slow up at all. Sure, that's right. But to your eyes, when you see, they look like they stop for a little bit and going back again, start fast. They don't.
I think that'll be clear enough on the tape.
Well, you can show it to them. Because in space there's no up. Because in space there's no up or down. Even our own pilots, when they get high enough, they can fly upside down. They don't fall out, do they?
No.
Okay. Yes. No. Oh, they have day and night, yes. Oh, sure. They have seasons, same as we have. But the time measurement is different. Venus would be different because it's a slightly smaller planet than the Earth. See? So it's based on the orbit, how long it goes around the sun. And the time is based on that.
What do they think of us?
Huh?
What's the opinion of these men about us?
About us? They don't find any fault with us. They're only warning us. See that we don't blow ourselves to bits with the atomic bomb. And yet, there's almost a necessity for a war. Do you know that? There's a necessity for a war right now.
Why?
Economics.
Population.
Okay. All wars have been that. And yet, if we go to one, we're through. So, there's only one answer. Shove the economy into space. You have to build all those ships. You have to do all that. So you'll be busy building ships. By men on Earth, everything, and being space what it is, unlimited. You'll have a job there forever, because the deeper you go into space, the better ships you're going to have, better instruments you're going to have. So you change the economy from war, killing people to support economy, into space. Economy, be learning instead of killing. And have a better economy, because there'd be no fluctuation there, see, like there is in our present-day economy. See? So that is the reason they want us out there. They're really helping us to get out there, because that'll save this civilization.
I didn't think of the
see,
problem.
Just a minute. That'll save this civilization, you see, when we do that. And frankly speaking, right now, the USA itself is better than 50% in space already, in its factories and so forth. See? And you might say that the world as a whole, because they follow the U.S. pretty well now on the industrial side, see, and whole affair, that the world as a whole is about 40% in it already. Even Switzerland, you might say, small country, may not make a big ship, but it may produce a small spring like goes into this watch that be very valuable in the instruments that they'll have, which will be very delicate to detect. Because all spacecraft that we'll use and that are using will employ a lot of robots. In other words, automatic machines to detect. No human mind yet has developed so great as to detect danger, say, 10,000 miles ahead of you. Yet the instruments can. See? So they can avoid danger of any kind that might, well, supposing there's a big asteroid 20, 30,000 miles away. All right? Your ship is hitting for us. See? You can't see it. You don't sense it. Your mind doesn't get it. But the instrument can detect it, see? And immediately, your instruments begin to either repel it, if you build that way, or you begin to waver your ship out of that particular track.
Here, of course.
Yeah. And things like that. So you see, all kinds of things. So the main thing is to get us into space before somebody pushes the wrong button through excitement or something. Once we're there, our economy and everything will be better than ever on Earth before. And there'll be no end to it. And the wars will never again take place on this Earth, because there'll be no reason for it. See? And we'll be gone. And who knows how much commerce we may establish with our own sister planets on top of that. See? That's all in the future. Really, the future is very beautiful. And for the
generation.
Huh?
They don't need us.
They don't need us, but we need them.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're helping us that way. And that is one big reason. They didn't come down here to find any fault with us, but to help us out, to get us into space, and, you might say, save this civilization from its own destruction by atomic warfare.
They need us, it's nonsense. They need us that we not blow up the planet.
Well, it'd be pretty hard. Well, I
won't go that far. I won't go quite that far. It can be done.
It can be done, but I don't think we'd go that far, because if we had a war here, 24-hour war on atomic bomb, and say the United States dropped 1,000 bombs, which they could easily do in 24 hours, in Russia, 1,000 big bombs, there'd be nobody here anymore. And the Earth still would be here. There'd be a lot of bugs and things like that. But, because they'd scatter that. But if they dropped it all in one section where the weak spot on the Earth is, where the earthquakes sometimes slip, then they could split it in two, and that would not be allowed, because intervention would take place, because once the planet is gone, the system would be thrown out of balance, and it would cause the other planets to go to pieces too. So then they would intervene. So that's two reasons then. They do because we might go that far. See? So that's one. But the major one, really, is to not have any war at all and yet have the economy and go into space. That's the major one.
Now, what can they do? What can they do to prevent us from making?
What can they do to prevent us? They've already done it. As I stated in the beginning, Korean War, if you study it carefully, they intervened there and didn't go any further. They start parallel 38 and quit parallel 38. Nobody won. All right. Then there was French Indochina War about to start, and they stopped that one at the time Modernist France was in power. All right? They stopped a number of wars that could have flared up into a major war. So they stopped these little wars.
So how did they do it? How did they proceed?
Well, let me put one. You probably read about this one. It should be on records. When we was in Korea, at Hinsha Bay, our destroyers were standing, anchored there. That was published in your papers. Our destroyers were there, standing, and the fleet was standing outside them, in the bay. Two missiles, as they call them, came out of clear blue, no clouds, no nothing, and hit in that water, dove in that water, as fast as they could get in there. It was such an impact that the plates on Gardner Bay, that's the name of the destroyer, were buckled with the impact. Nobody got hurt, but the plates were buckled. Then she had to come into San Diego Bay 3 months later to have her repairs done. Now, in the meantime, when they went down there into the water, the fleet immediately went in a circle and going to prevent them from escaping. While they were doing that, these things went in the water, under the fleet, and they were caught on radar going back out. Now, that is enough to frighten anybody. And things like that, so there's your part of your intervention.
Was that the same sort of thing, the submarine off the Argentine a few years ago?
Well, it wasn't only a few years ago because it happened in San Francisco Bay, San Diego Bay recently. But those are the things that you cause a man to think.
Yeah. One that they chased and couldn't find.
Yeah. And yet the bay was so narrow that deep sea divers would have stopped at any time, got in there. Still they couldn't find, they escaped on them.
If you want to know, they have 60%
The what?
You want to know if they have the original sin in other planets.
Original what?
Sin.
Original sin?
No.
No. That's propaganda,
yes,
when it's talked about.
Some projects would be with it.
They don't stand any importance.
To our possibilities.
Huh?
Sometimes there would be a limit to our possibilities of extension.
There is no limit to anything.
Until they find the means of diminishing the population.
Yeah. No, there is no limit because nature takes care of that. Let me say something like this. On Palomar, where I used to live, there was there was prevention of forest fires. There hadn't been no rain. There's a big observatory, a lot of trees and brush, heavy brush, growth of maybe 20, 30 years. But if ever forest fire started, it would clean the thing up in a jiffy, just like that. So they prevented hunters from going into Palomar hunting deer in the deer season. And everybody started saying, well, it's going to be overpopulation of deer. But it wasn't. Nature has a way of handling those things. Always. So we need it. You see, the big trouble with us is that while we may believe, we say we believe in God, we go to church, yet how much do we believe in God? We're always put a limitation on the Creator, that he doesn't know what he's doing. We got to take things in our own hands. And yet, isn't that not sometimes kind of belittling the very thing you believe? Because if the Creator created all of this, which created you and I, the chances are 100% that he knows what to do. When you are thinking in terms of a population, this or that, and they are reasons for many things, sometimes you will find that there's an overpopulation of a certain insect. Well, if you study it carefully, that insect had a job to do and did it. And after it did the job, now you take the ladybug, I don't know what you'd call it here, but it's a little bit of bug, very fine. Yeah. In California, the farmers killed it all off because they said it was doing a lot of damage. So they killed them all off with poison, one thing or another, sprays. And finally, they didn't have the oranges. They didn't have the peaches. They didn't have the anything. Because the little insect carried pollen from one to the other, just like bees do. So the government had to finally get a pair from somewhere else and start them. Today you buy it by the pound. The farmers today are buying them by the pound. There's millions of them in a pound. And turn them loose in the orchard, only to have better production. In other words, everything is for a purpose. But man, not knowing that, he said, I'll eliminate that. Just like a man, it shows you how foolish a man is. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't. He plants, we say, 50 acres of corn. Well, he loses 5 acres by insects eating that corn. So he harvests only 45. All right, so he goes to a chemist. He asks him what he can find to save him that 5 acres. Well, he finds him something, so he sprays it all up. He gets the 5 acres, all right, extra corn. But then he goes to the drugstore and buys vitamins that cost him $200 when only the 5 acres brought him maybe $20. So he spends $180 more now because the vitamins that were in that corn are no longer there. The insects that put the vitamins in there were killed off. And that's the way man's been doing
things. On the other hand, I could give another example. For instance, today we are already living in some awkward places like New York, for instance, which is overpopulated, and here Belgium too.
The unfortunate...
And it can't be natural for a man to live in such places.
I know. I go along with you on that. But whose fault is it? Mostly people's own fault. No scientist does. They either are fact or not. There are no halfway hours. Now, even your Christian doctrine tells you there are no astral bodies.
Well, I don't care about them, doctor.
Well, but it's true just the same, whether you care or you don't. Because astral bodies, like spirits, are floating around some damn place in outer space looking for a tree to land, and there are no trees.
But certain investigators have also experimented with that. Comes to different results.
No. Well, you get it different ways. You know, there are a lot of darn good magicians that produce the very good results.
You can't talk away, for instance, William Crookes in England, which was a real great scientist.
Who?
William Crookes.
Yeah.
The inventor of several...
That's all right. Now, depends what you call. I want to classify what you call astral bodies.
Well, I could give you a number of definitions, but you know what I mean.
Because if you mean I can have imaginary picture in my mind of something that is not in existence, yet I can finally now go and get the material and make it and have it appear just like this tray is, then I'm taking it out of the invisible, bringing it into visible.
You? Yeah, that's one thing.
All right. But that's a body that can be made. And we might say the idea, even when this burns up or destroyed, still is present. Okay. But when we're talking about astral bodies, in a sense of humans, that's another story. Because I'm talking now from this angle, so dear, you may understand me. A lot of people say, There's your astral body of your mother, or your father, that passed away, say, 10 years ago. That's totally false.
Yes, well,
that's all I'm talking about.
Suppose I
give the young people exhausted. They can't to be from Russell.
Yeah. Okay.
What is the purpose of these people in life?
What is the purpose?
Their purpose.
What is it? I might answer the same question in reference to us. What is our purpose of life? It's the same answer. Same answer. I guess to live, that's all, and learn. That's what they're doing, that's what we're doing. I don't know of anything else. Yeah.
There have been plenty of records of Sosa in 52, 54, 56 in Europe and the States.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think there will be a lot again of these records?
I don't think they will be again like that. They have awakened us to our danger, they awaken us to our potential. So I don't think they'll be that way again. And now, especially, because radar picks them up on the screen. Them days we didn't have radar chain all over the world. Now we have, and they could, if they come in too close, be mistaken for a missile of an enemy, which they already have almost done in 1961 and 62 over the United States. It could bring on a war, atomic war. So they got to be more careful now. So I don't think they'll not appear in numbers like that anymore. See? That will not repeat itself. In fact, our governments already know who they are and all of that. And if a missile was caught out there and we didn't understand it, we'd likely think it's the enemy missile and start a war. And that's been learned in those 2 years of 61, 62. So we got to be awfully careful, and they know that too. So they will not come in where we will not know who they are, and especially in large numbers, like they did then. Because in those years, that was, well, it was in 51, that they had 500 of them over Farmington, New Mexico, all day long. And it was in 56 that there were 6,000 seen all over the earth in different places. 6,000 all together in number. See, they figured. But they were not all together. They were in groups here and there, everywhere, almost simultaneously, all over the world.
What were they
doing? Huh?
What were they doing?
Well, we were very close to blowing this world up at that time, and things like that, and they just frightened the Dagens out of them. Well, it was in the year. Remember that Khrushchev, not Khrushchev, Joe Stalin was living then,
yes.
And all of them met at Geneva Conference, and at that time, and the session was going on. It was after that when our government announced that the atomic energy should be used for peaceful purposes and not for war or speculation of war. It was after that. In other words, they impressed our leaders pretty well at that time with their appearances that caused them to change their minds.
Well, Mr. Adamski, did they told you they won't come back?
Did they tell you that they won't come back?
No, they didn't. But there have been less of them right along, and they will be. Especially, you see, now when we get a missile out there, or like astronaut out there, they're watching the astronaut very carefully. Because even if an astronaut got in trouble, they would save him, although we would think man was lost. But they would save him, they wouldn't let him die in space.
Was there any reason why you named your last book Flying Saucer Farewell?
Because I'm getting out of it a little bit myself. I'll always have some interest in it, you know, observe, watch developments. But I'm not going to be as heavy in it as I have been. And they have slowed up. They've done their major job already, so there'll be fewer of them. And so forth, that is the reason. Now, the next book, I'm going to be have something to do with John Glenn, which is the Fireflies, explaining those conditions, and the opposition that was against this and has been and is even today, that is causing the slow progress being made as far as educating the public is concerned. No, there. When I call it farewell, that's because I'm kind of pushing out of it myself. In fact, I'm getting too darn old to be running around the world. I'd like
that's
to settle. I like to settle down for a little bit, for a while, and stay put for a little bit. Go to Mexico and start living.
What is it better in Mexico?
All the, well, the climate, cost of living, everything. Yeah. Little bit louder.
They would like to know, have some prestigious about reincarnation.
By reincarnation? Well, reincarnation can be spoken from the very beginning, for instance. All nature proves resurrection or reincarnation. The word resurrection or reincarnation are the same thing. The reincarnation is a Hindustani or Eastern philosophy calls it that, while we Christians call it resurrection. But both mean coming back. All right? Now you see, in the spring of the year, all nature comes new. Trees with new leaves and all that. You could call that, as far as the planet life is concerned, vegetable life and all, as a rebirth. All right? Now, as far as human people...